Hey, Kat. Welcome back to Unfold.
Hey, Amy.
So I'm going to play you something. Let me know if you've ever heard this album before. It is a classic.
Ooh, good music?
Well, sort of. It's the most popular nature recording in history from 1970. You remember that year, right?
That would be a no. Pterodactyl? Wait, 1970. Oh. Oh. Are those whales? Like humpback whales? Aren't they?
Yes, they are. This was from Songs of the Humpback Whales that was produced by biologist Roger Payne.
Oh, Billboard Top 100. I have not heard this.
Well, this album helped spark the anti-whaling movement.
Really? Humpbacks were an endangered species in the 70s. I heard like nearly 95% of their population was wiped out up until commercial whaling came to an end.
Yeah, and Roger Payne was the scientist that realized there was an intentional rhyme, repetition, and structure to these noises.
They weren't just noises, they were singing. Today, we know a lot more about these amazing creatures.
Professor and animal behaviorist Brenda McCowan with the UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine has been studying these animals for decades.
Humpbacks are very socially complex. They travel vast distances. They have a huge vocal repertoire. I always say that every sound ever made in the natural world, the humpback makes. It's incredible the diversity of sounds that they produce.
And what we just heard from the Humpback album was song. But Brenda says these whales are also known for their social chatter.
You mean they talk to each other?
Perhaps. Listen.
Last one's like, will you all please be quiet?
It sounded like a motorcycle.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was amazing. That's incredible, by the way. I've never heard
I know, right?
Before.
One of them sounds like a horse.
Yeah. So scientists have recorded these social sounds, but do we know what they mean or what they're saying to each other?
Not entirely. Fred Sharp is president of Olympic Peninsula Prairies and an affiliate researcher in Brenda's lab at UC Davis. He thinks these social sounds could be more conversational in nature.
Humpback whales are extremely vociferous beings, and we barely begin to parse the meaning of their songs, their social chatter. We know that some of their cries are used to herd prey, but there's much we don't know about their acoustic systems and the possibility to do playbacks to try to elicit some form of meaning and interaction is super exciting.
Their research team recently came out with a study on these playback experiments. It's where they record sound from humpbacks and then play it back to them through an underwater speaker.
Are they hoping that humans might be able to communicate with a whale, like talk to them in their own language? Humpbackian or humpbackies?
Right. Well, they aren't that far along, but maybe someday communication is their goal.
So did the playbacks work? Did it spark a conversation?
Well, that's a conversation that we're going to unfold in this episode of Unfold. But before we do, I should point out that the SETI Institute was involved in this research as well.
SETI? That's the institute that searches for extraterrestrial intelligence. Why are they involved?
They think this interspecies communication could help in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Studying intelligent non-human species might help us better understand how to detect and interpret communication signals from outer space.
In a nutshell, talking to whales may one day help us talk to aliens.
If they are out there. So yeah, in a nutshell, it was a close encounter of the whale kind.
Oh, this is truly a podcast.
Coming to you from UC Davis, this is Unfold. I'm Amy Quinton.
And I'm Kat Kerlin. Okay, Amy, you hinted that there was a conversation with a whale. I need to know more.
Well, the research team was in Southeast Alaska, and there are some calls these whales make that researchers think they understand. One of them is the whoop call, sometimes called the throp call.
The whoop call, I think, is thought to be a contact call.
That's Brenda McCowan.
Sort of a call that sort of lets other whales know that you're about. There's not a whole lot of studies that have been done in terms of determining exactly what its function is.
But Brenda says they produce these whoop calls in the background around other humpbacks, and every population of humpbacks uses this call.
I've got to hear what this contact call sounds like.
Okay, well, I have a recording, luckily. It actually said whoop. Yeah, I guess that's why they call it a whoop call.
That's hard.
And another.
I love it. Okay, I get it. It's sort of like a low growl.
Yeah, with a little upsweep at the end.
Maybe they're saying hello.
That's the thought.
Okay, so researchers conducted these playbacks in the ocean in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, let me set the scene for you. It's August 2021. Brenda and team are on a research vessel near Frederick Sound, Alaska. Here's Fred Sharp.
Here we are at the mouth of beautiful Holcomb Bay, Southeast Alaska. Breezy, cloudy day, but workable. On the fine ship Glacier Seal, holding steady.
They have hydrophones, which are underwater microphones. Those are recording, and he's about to drop a LaBelle underwater speaker off the side of the boat in Holcomb Bay.
And we're going to drop our beautiful LaBelle here and get ready for our first round of playbacks. Splash down.
So they start the playbacks, and then what?
Nothing. You have to remember, whales this time of year are on task, eating.
Oh, yeah. That's because they're in their feeding grounds in Alaska. They've just traveled thousands of miles from Hawaii, where they mate, and they don't feed in their breeding grounds, so they're hungry.
Right. So researchers begin these playback trials to groups of whales in Alaska and are basically getting nowhere. Whales were not paying attention. But they also did some new underwater recordings from one particular group of whales.
You mean a pod of whales?
Yes, a pod. A pod of nine individuals. Josie Hubbard is a postdoctoral researcher at UC Davis with a PhD in animal behavior. She was part of the research team and on the boat at the time.
There was a group of whales nearby that were vocalizing. And so we had our hydrophone down and we were recording passively what they were saying. And a whoop call came through that was really high quality. Like a really nice recording of this whoop call. And so Brenda actually decided, this is a really great quality recording. Let's use this tomorrow.
So they recorded this whoop call from the pod on the first day.
Yeah. So next day, Fred says the fog was dense. They didn't even think they'd be able to get on the water at first.
We did sneak out of our anchorage and do some slow transiting around looking for concentrations of animals. And as the fog was starting to lift, we saw a couple scattered here and there off in the distance, nobody really close. And we thought, well, we might as well be as good as any. We shut down the vessel.
So they're drifting, engines off in Frederick Sound, Alaska.
The speakers and recorders are in the water now.
And then a whale surfaced right near the boat. Josie Hubbard was on the top deck.
We split our team such that half of our team was on the top deck doing observations and trying to keep track of how many whales were around and what they were doing.
The other half were on the bottom deck with Brenda McCowan.
There's two of us that were doing the playback, recording and doing the playback, and then a bunch of observers on top taking photographs of the whale's flukes so we could identify the whale, and that's why we know it's Twain.
Twain is a 38-year-old female humpback.
So middle-aged, right? Like, don't they live until 80 or 90?
That's the best guess. I think so.
Okay, Amy, let's get to the playback.
And then, finally, they sent out some pre-recorded whoop calls to see if she would respond. Here's the recording.
And then?
And then nothing. So they try again. And again, nothing. They try a third time. Then they wait about 34 seconds. Then they hear her.
That's Twain.
That's Twain. They try again, and I ask Brenda to listen.
And that's Twain. Much richer sound. That's us. It's us playing back. Twain. And then after that point, I tried to actually match the latency of her responses, and she matched the latency of ours.
This latency matching is deliberately shifting the timing between their broadcasts in hopes that the whale would match it.
So Twain was timing her response to the boats.
Yeah. Brenda says she waited about 10 seconds, and then Twain waited about 10 seconds to respond.
The boat sounds out a hello. Twain replies back, hello.
Exactly. It could be Twain's attempt to engage in a conversation. And the observers at the top of the boat, who were blind to what was being played down below, were watching Twain's behavior.
What was stark to me was that she stayed in really close distance and even circled the boat. I guess it's not just the close proximity that I think was different, but the fact that she stuck around for 20 minutes and circled.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
How many times did Twain respond to the boat?
The boat sent out 38 whoop calls and received 36 back from Twain. It took two tries in the beginning to get her to respond. Here's Brenda again.
It was extraordinary. I mean, I've been studying animal communication for 30 plus years, and I've never experienced anything like that. It was pretty awesome. After playback of getting nothing, to have this really direct, turn-taking exchange was just amazing. I mean, that was surprising. I never would have expected that. I would have expected a response, maybe, but not like that.
As far as we know, this has probably been the most elaborate acoustic interchange reported to date with a baleen whale. And the way that that was conducted and the fact that the animal hung around for so long and interacted temporally with us, it opens the door for further dynamic playbacks.
Do you think Twain was enjoying the conversation? What was going on?
Well, that's exactly what I wondered. Josie told me it's always hard to tell what animals may be thinking or feeling, but she says it's likely she was enjoying it, or at least curious about the sound she recognized coming from the boat. But at one point, that did change for a little bit.
But then there were some indications towards the middle of the experiment where she started to show signs of agitation, such as what we call wheezy or forced blows when she comes to the surface and breathes, as well as breathing or blowing more frequently, which is thought to indicate agitation.
Was that a wheezy blow?
Yeah, and Brett said that little hoot at the end of this blow could also indicate exasperation.
I can imagine. Is that when Twain left?
No, she stuck around until the researchers had to stop sending calls. 20 minutes was all their research permit would allow.
Oh, so she could have left at any point, right? It's not like they were feeding her to get her to stick around.
Right. Brenda says when the call stopped, Twain started to leave. But as she was leaving, she continued to send back whoop calls to the boat.
That's kind of sad. I mean, do you think she just missed her newfound friends or these strange humans in a boat?
Brenda says it's possible, but it's also possible that she was hearing her own voice from the boat.
What? I don't understand.
Well, remember that researchers recorded the whoop call from the pod they saw the day before, and it turns out Twain was one of the whales in that pod.
It's very possible that this particular call was very salient to her, either because it was a group member of hers that was producing the call, or perhaps even her own call. We just don't know. But so this was a call that she would have been familiar with one way or the other. And maybe that's the reason why she responded so directly to it all and stayed with us for 20 minutes.
Interesting. But the whale had to have known that she was hearing this come from a boat and not another whale.
I mean, I would think these are intelligent creatures.
Speaking of intelligence, you mentioned extraterrestrial intelligence. When are we going to get to how SETI is involved?
Ah, yes, the SETI Institute. So you might be asking, like I was, aren't they the guys that listen for alien signals using those big satellite dish-looking things?
Yes, we are the guys that point radio telescopes at the sky and listen for intelligent signals.
That's Lawrence Doyle, an astrophysicist with SETI.
They ask the question, is there extraterrestrial technology? We ask the question, is what has been received intelligent? And so that's our job, is to study non-human intelligence on Earth and come up with intelligence filters that SETI can use.
What is an intelligence filter?
I didn't know either, but we can think of it as a way to understand and quantify the intelligence and communication of other non-human species. The thinking is that perhaps scientists could classify this non-human communication based on its complexity.
Like an intelligence ranking? How do they do that?
By using the mathematics of information theory, which was originally developed to determine the amount of information going through telephone lines, believe it or not. I'll let Brenda explain.
What was discovered by looking at information theory and something else called Zipf's Law is that human languages all tend to show similar mathematical properties, whether it's Russian, whether it's Chinese, whether it's English. The statistical mathematical properties of language are all very similar. And so what we want to do is apply those kinds of mathematical principles to the calls and other kinds of signals of animals to see which animals are showing complex communication.
By the way, she and Lawrence Doyle have done this sort of decoding of the whistles of bottlenose dolphins and found they have similar properties to human language. They realized they should be looking at sequences of signals and not just the calls themselves.
It sounds a little bit like the same thing Roger Payne figured out, the one who discovered whales were singing because the song had repetition and structure. So are they going to try to decode the sounds of humpbacks using information theory?
Yeah, Brenda wants to use AI and other tools to help find patterns that will give them some insight into how their communication systems are structured. And I can't help but think, and I told Brenda this, that it really does sound like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, that Spielberg movie?
Only with a whale and not aliens.
Yeah, you saw that movie, right?
I did not actually see that movie, but I heard that it has to do with, I think there's a scene where they play music to aliens trying to communicate with them.
Right, they'd send out tones, they'd get back tones from aliens. And remember, music is also mathematical.
If everything's ready here on the dark side of the moon, play the 5 tones.
When I had this, we had this encounter with Twain, one of the things I thought of was Close Encounters of a Third Kind, because, you know, what they do at the end of that movie is they play back this sort of these musical notes, and then the aliens respond not only by mimicking those notes, but then doing a riff on them. Right? And completely changing them up, which is exactly what I think we should be doing with other non-human animals. I think we should be careful. You know, we want to make sure that we're not doing anything harmful, but to really see how we can tweak the system, see what how the animals respond.
There's also this really cool scene in the movie where the scientists are asking each other if they even know what they're saying to one another. They're really confused because the aliens are playing the music and they're playing the music and they're matching each other. It's like bizarrely similar.
It sounds very familiar. So yeah, I can totally see why people think of that movie when they hear the story about the whales. It is so similar. So how does Brenda want to change things the next time they try to communicate with whales?
She told me they'll do more dynamic and adaptive playbacks to see how humpbacks respond and how the conversation unfolds. Ultimately, this work could give us a framework for understanding different forms of intelligence,
both on this planet and beyond. With that said, it is time we end this Close Encounter of the Whale Kind and let you know that you can find more information on their research on our website, ucdavis.edu/unfold.
You can also find pictures of Twain, but not aliens.
If you like this episode, also don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.
I'm Amy Quinton.
And I'm Kat Curlin. Thanks for listening.
Unfold is a production of UC Davis. It's edited by Marianne Rush Sharp. Original music for Unfold comes from Damien Verrett and Curtis Jerome Haynes. Additional music comes from Blue Dot Sessions. The study on the humpback whale communication was conducted under the NOAA National Marine Fisheries Research Permit 19703.